Okay, so I want to share about Jehovah Shalom. The only time that that particular name is used is in Judges 6, verse 24. Yeah. And Judges 6, 12 is where we got Valor's name. Mm. And then we one of the links to that journey with us praying for Valor's healing was specifically using the word Shalom.
Yeah.
For wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. For nothing missing, nothing broken.
Yeah.
And as we look through that, we, you know, a lot of us that are familiar with the word could hear it when people say Shalom, Shalom, you know, hello or goodbye, but may it be well with you, you know, that it be well with you. And it's something, you know, loosely defined as peace. But Josh has shared about this before, back when we were at Missio Dei. You did, because I know there were some things that I picked up on when you really, you know, shared a message about the nature of God, the nature of Shalom, and Him being our peace,
yeah,
that I had not really thought about before in terms of it being an active. He's an active peacekeeper. Mm. but so with Valor, and we'll probably share a little bit about that. But maybe do you have Judges pulled up now? But with Judges 24, it's interesting because when we look at the difference between peace and shalom, and some of the stuff that I looked at loose for definitions, like peace being the absence of conflict. You know, when somebody's having a hard time, they're like, things aren't necessarily going very well. They'd just be like, I just want some peace. Like, what do you need? I just need some peace and quiet, right? And we strive to have a household of peace, right? But there's a difference between peace and shalom. Peace being the absence of conflict, peace is part of shalom. But the interesting thing that's really stood out to me today is the permanence of peace, the permanence of shalom, the wholeness, the being made whole, being brought into a place of completion, you know, and also at the same time, like, just dwelling in shalom. I mean, the more I talk about it, the more it's like, that's just bigger, so much bigger. So I want to listen to the passage, that the part, pick whatever you want to share. The Judges read the Bible. Yeah, but you pick the verses. I don't know what
you were reading. Oh, well, I'll read the 6:24 first. That's just, we'll stand just on. So, okay. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Obezrites. Yeah, that was, and there's a lot of context to that before and after, but because that's kind of a weird,
what
just to read that verse,
Gideon?
But Judges 6:12 was when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And it was really mighty. Was how did it read in the other one where it said Valor? I don't have that version where it said Valor. I just have Mighty Warrior.
Oh. Mighty Man of Valor.
Yes,
the Lord
that's
is
what
with
it was.
You, Mighty Man of Valor.
Mighty Man of Valor, that's what it said. And I don't remember which verse that, or version that was. Mm-hmm. I don't
what
remember which version. This is
what
NIV.
Does that say?
Yeah. It says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, Mighty Warrior.'"
Mighty Warrior.
Thinking, even in just Judges, speaking with Gideon, like, he goes through some stuff. God, like, chooses him, and then he's like, "Is that you, God?" You know, like, you know, with the whole, is that the cloak he puts on the ground? He's like, "Okay, let's, you know, is that you, God? Okay, you do a few, you know, like, where is that? I don't know where it's at, but, let's see, I'll find it real quick." Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have. Pardon me, Lord," blah, 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 okay. Lord answered, "I will be with you." Gideon replied, "Now, if you have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me." So Gideon's asking for a sign of God. Let him know it's him. So Gideon went outside, prepared a young goat, blah, blah, blah. There's some other stuff there. putting the meat in a basket. It's broth in a pot. Then this is when the angel appeared to him. God bless you. Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place it on this rock. Gideon did all of that. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah and Abezrites. So I think there was a lot of stuff there. You know, Gideon, even after that, there was some more stuff, but Gideon just like, "Is that you, God? Are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this?" Because even before that, what was it? He tore down the altar of, what is it, the Baal? I don't even know how to say that or what that is, but where does that come after? I just lost my place. Sorry, guys. I scrolled too far. Okay. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople. He did it at night rather than in the daytime, in the morning. So he was kind of afraid of everybody because, oh, here it is. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years ago, 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon did all of that, and then everybody was just mad at him, because they were worshiping like the Baal thing, right? Like they were... Mm-hmm. Well, this is father's Joash. How do you say that? Joash? Yeah. And so they were worshiping that. Gideon's like, "No, I'm going to tear this down." And then after he did that, the people of the town demanded, "Joash, bring out your son. You must die. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself." And someone breaks down his altar. Mm. So because Gideon broke down the Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerub-Baal that day, saying, "Let Baal contend with him." So is this like... I'm still trying to figure this out, but I know we talked a lot about it like the past couple days, but like Gideon did all this stuff, and even before that, God's like, you know, "I'm the God of peace." We kind of revealed that to him. "I'm the God of peace." And as Gideon's like going out on a limb, breaking down this other altar of like whatever that is, I'm not sure what Baal is. I got to read into that. But, you know, it's like it's not God, so they're worshiping this thing. So Gideon, like, God tells him to break it down. But before he does that, he's like, "I'm the God of peace. Like, don't worry. It's cool. Do the thing because in my name, you know?" And so, Gideon just follows through and does it. You know, and then still after that, he's like, you know, he says to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece." I love this one. "Place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is exactly what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry, all the ground was covered with dew. And then, you know, go on to defeat the Midianites and conquer mighty man of valor. You know, like, he's like,
it's in the New King James Version.
Yeah.
Verse 10 through 12, I'll read real quick. Just, also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the gods, little g, of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. I said this to you, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. what I love, because of what, you know, with when we lost valor, is that go back and read this at some point and caught verse 13. It's a little loud. We're so just in our house with our kids. verse 13, Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?
Yeah.
But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. So on first look,
yep.
I was like, okay, so there's that right there.
Yeah.
And it's so, I think, you know, God is definitely ministering to this to our hearts. It's like, how do we apprehend? How do we hold on to the shalom peace? And the truth, the, like, you said not to be afraid.
Yeah.
You said, I am with you. You said, mighty man of valor. And then our son died. We have other things. You know, it's not just that. That's not the only story of our lives, but it's a big one. So then we lose. And then I'm like, God, you're the God of miracles. You've done thousands of miracles. And why not this one?
Yeah.
In the way that I was asking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not this one in this way? And so, you know, we still try to look for that word shalom. That's a shalom, this permanent peace, right? It's not the absence of conflict.
Right.
Because you can come to an absence of conflict without being in shalom.
Mm.
You can end a war by killing your enemies. This is not shalom. This is not the full peace of God. This is not wholeness. This does not bring us to a good place. And so many times we're looking for, and my friend, I'm trying to think of how to quote her. She says, we are often looking for relief.
Right.
We're looking for relief from our troubles, right?
Yeah.
God is not always after our relief. You know, he's not trying to just relieve you of all your troubles. He's saying, I am here to refine you and restore you and bring you real shalom, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting because there's whenever these other three verses I want to look at that have peace in them, and they're the biblical peace, so it's a shalom peace. That's noise. I can hear that. Can you stop? Thank you. Talon, do you want to come read with me? No. Isaiah 53. It's also in the New King James Version. I must have this in my heart today, the language.
Mm-hmm.
So Isaiah 53, I'm just going to read 4, 5, and 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. If you can picture Jesus on the cross, like we were singing, the Father turns his face away, right? Stricken by God and afflicted. We esteemed him stricken, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just, I love to look at that because he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I don't think the prophet, the prophetic, the spirit of truth that was upon Isaiah when he wrote this was not talking about feel bad because you made Jesus hurt. Mm-hmm. He was saying he has carried our sorrows. All of this, the pain of Gideon, the pain of that question, that question in all the heart, in the heart of everyone who's ever hoped for anything good and it didn't happen. It's like, if you said that you're with us, then where are the miracles?
Yeah.
You know, and the angel of the Lord had just called Gideon a mighty man of valor, and he maintained this question in his heart, spoke this to the angel of the Lord. Okay, that's what you'll say. So yeah, you're brave. You're going to say that to the angel of the Lord right in front of that, right, that moment. Yeah, okay, you didn't just, so looking at that, what do you think? Was he brave to just say, okay, if that is true, then where is God in all this? And we are looking at how Jesus was coming into our sorrow, coming into our grief, coming into our life, really, in a physical way. And the chastisement, and that word chastisement is a little hairy. You know, we don't like to talk about punishment these days so much, but there was a real chastisement. There was a real consequence. There was a real chastisement. So I have to look at that word a little bit more, just in terms of that. Okay. But the pain of our that brought forth our peace was upon him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm using this book.
Wait. Put this in here.
Put that right there. Thank you. I need this. Okay. So, did you? Oh, and I took my finger out of my spot. But then I'm gonna hop over here. I love the Bible. I love how it tells us things that we're like questioning, we're wondering about, we're thinking, we've got these secrets in our hearts, think nobody knows, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is like, but I see you. And if we open up our hearts and we hide his word in our hearts, don't be afraid to memorize. This is good. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 25, 26, and 27, in the New King James says, please, can you listen for a second? These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And it's not right here, but he does say in John, I want to say John 16, that like, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It is John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And again, like, the conflict, that tribulation speaks of conflict, again, is that conflict between, like, this is the miracle I prayed for, and this is what I'm living through. There's a conflict of an expectation, a hope. And in this world, these things are going to happen. And yet there is a permanent peace, a permanent steadiness, a permanent place of dwelling in assurance with God, with the Spirit of Truth, leading us and teaching us that we can actually live in the middle of conflict, whether it's whatever struggle it is, whatever kind of struggle it is. I think about Corrie Ten Boom. We were talking about Corrie Ten Boom a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think about being mm-hmm. in a, something I've never had. I've never had anywhere near that kind of a experience, right? Where in a Holocaust, during the Holocaust, right. in a prison, being separated from family and in a place where you're sleeping on a hay mattress that has fleas and you're there for weeks and weeks. And instead of giving into despair, they were holding Bible studies mm-hmm. and they were worshiping and mm-hmm. they were praying and they were being kind to their guards mm-hmm. who were not being kind to them in any stretch, you know? And like that is, those are people who carry peace.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's the kind of peace that the chastisement of Jesus provided for us. I really only thought of that verse while we were worshiping and singing how deep the Father's love for us, that he would give his only son so that we could have peace, you know, and not just eternal life, but peace through the midst of the conflict of life that we will live through. And there's joy in that. There's somehow.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
This is temporary. The peace is permanent. This is temporary, you know, and then mm-hmm. there's that, speaking of valor, a permanent hope, you know, a permanent reality of him, that in terms of like in our understanding of heaven, which is limited and buried, you know,
yeah.
Mike has concepts, imaginations, you know, when we think about what we know, and Mike can picture something different than all the things that I've been picturing, and but to the best of my knowledge, he's living in the Father's house.
Yeah.
You know? And what, and then there's a greater day coming, even when there's a new heaven and a new earth, we all can enjoy the presence of God and be whole and permanently healed and glorified even in that eternal existence, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But not, for all eternity. And he is transcendent. So the shalom is transcendent. The peace is transcendent. And that before I go on to the next verse, I can remind, do you have any other thoughts?
No, that's good. You captured it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that led me to Spirit of God just led me to this. Gonna find it by memory. Not using any kind of word. Find it by memory. Galatians, Philippians. Philippians 4. Gosh, there's a lot here. Just like these exhortations from Paul, right? But we're going to focus on verse 6 and 7. Word transcend. Yeah. I'm in the New King James, but I memorized scripture first in the King James Version,
because
okay. the school we went to when we were kids was a King James only little school, and we memorized scripture a different passage. Like when I was in third grade, we started with like Psalm 8, and we did the first verses 1-8. So we were like memorizing 8 to 10 verses of scripture each month. We memorized the whole book of James 1 year, and that has stood with me. But when we're memorizing Philippians 4, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding is the King James Version, right? It's this transcendent peace. So Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. These are these absolutes that I kind of, right now we have a 5-year-old who's like, you never, and you always, and this ever, I'm not ever, and I will never. And I'm like, these are these big absolute words you should not be placing on all these things. I'm never eating that again. I'm like, okay, I will never go to bed. Not possible, right?
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, yeah. But here, the absolutes are appropriate. And a challenge. and a challenge all at the same time. So the absolute, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You meditate on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any virtue and there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. And I think it naturally follows. If you're letting this shalom, and we're making all these connections, right? There's pain, there's a question, there's a declaration, mighty man of valor, right? And then there's the, but wait, if you were with us, why is this happening? And then he comes, you know, today we're talking shalom. This is the shalom. We prayed, we believed, we declared shalom over our bodies and over our lives and over Valor's life. And I wanted it in a physical manifestation of nothing missing, nothing broken. And that's the existence that the brokenness that Jesus died on the cross for is a here and now provision. Like it is a permanent reality, and yet we want the physical manifestation of it. So we still have this. Then Jesus is like, in this world, you will have conflict. You will have tribulation. There will be things that you could get anxious about.
Yeah.
But be of good cheer. And I have overcome it. Be of good cheer. I'm like, I want peace. Can I have the absence of conflict for a minute? Maybe tension. It's not really conflict. It's really tension.
These kids are up to no good.
Absence of tension. Pardon. The walkie-talkie going off in the background. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever is of a good report, what if there is any virtue, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. Okay. Yeah, I think that's where we can end there. I just thought it was really interesting how we were talking about Corrie Ten Boom yesterday, and then in one of the things that I was looking at, the website that I found the most interesting kind of back and forth between peace and shalom was this Jews for Jesus site, which is kind of interesting. But they're the ones who talk about or make note of, you know, Hitler would have had peace for himself because he killed his enemies. You know what I mean? Like there's this like the absence of my enemy creates a certain type of peace.
Right.
But it is not shalom.
Right.
It is not the shalom of heaven, the full, noble, true, right, peace, wholeness, right? The all encompassing. And I just think it's so huge. The ancient Hebrew concept of peace, rooted in the word shalom, meant wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity, carrying with it the implication of permanence. And
Dad had it. Let me have it.
We will have that as our
purpose.
Children's church, children have been dismissed to children's church.
The great outdoors.
That's it. So that's what I have. Carrying with it the implication of permanence.
Yes.
Wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity in a permanent way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.